Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is out there on the Wild Wild Web at jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think we had a record week, another record week of subscribers to our newsletter this week. Something under a million subscribers this week, and I want to thank all of you who subscribed this week and appreciate that very much. David Zahn is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend. He's managing partner of Cloud Zahn Associates, which is a sales consulting firm primarily focused on addressing sales and sales support issues, and of the companies that he works with. He's written a new book that I wanted you to know about. It's called The Quintessential Guide to Using Consultants. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here, David, and I'm glad you wrote this book, because I think this book actually is going to be good for not only for people who want to hire consultants, but I hope you're positioning this book for people who want to become consultants, because I think it would help those guys too.
Without a doubt, I did want to share both perspectives within the cover of this book.
Well, I think you've done that, and I'm certain. Earlier before you got here, I told my audience, you know, if you want to hire a consultant or if you want to be one, you probably could benefit from your book. As my audience knows, and as you and I mentioned to you earlier, for a number of years, I had my own consulting company, and I worked with small businesses, and I found, I was reflecting back on my own experience. And you know, David, when an architect becomes an architect and hangs a shingle out or her shingle out, there is an architect industry book of behavior. The lawyers have books of behavior and ethics. Doctors have books of behavior and ethics. So do CPAs, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Consultants, not so much, right?
Without a doubt, and that's a critical issue within the industry. Because, to your very point, when you go to your attorney, let's assume, God forbid, you're going through a divorce, and you go to your divorce attorney, the last thing you want to hear out of that person's mouth is, gee, this is the first time I'm ever seeing one of these, but I'll wing it. I'll give it a go.
Well,
unfortunately, with the consultant, we don't really have, in most consulting practices and most disciplines, a true way of determining is someone credentialed, properly experienced, and even some instances licensed.
Right. Well, and also that they will behave ethically.
Correct.
And of course, there are two issues here. One of our top ethics experts in the Brain Trust, David, says that ethics is devotion to the, having good ethics is devotion to the unenforceable. And sometimes, you know, some people are very much devoted to the enforceable, but they're not so devoted to the unenforceable.
That is correct.
And so I remember when I first started my business, I had, you know, in business you're faced with all kinds of with a lot of ethical issues that you have to sort through, and it's not always just about what's black and white. There are gray areas there, and I remember saying that, well, you know what, since I don't have a book to go to like the lawyers do or like a doctor does, I'm just going to have to make sure that I behave in a way that will be the right thing to do. And so, you know, I had to do that. And consultants just don't have a book that they can turn to, and I hope your book will become that.
It's my fervent desire as well.
Well, what do you recommend to people, small business owners? I'd recommend that they hire consultants, because the good thing about a consultant is they're like a vice president you can rent. That used to be my little tagline.
Right.
And you can get a lot of power for in a few hours without having to adopt somebody. So I recommend that they do that. But how do you say that we should go about beginning the process?
Well, I think that if we use your earlier analogy about the architect, I think that in many ways that probably would serve a good foundation here, in that you have to first, as the prospect or potential client of consulting services, determine what are your objectives. So if we're going to say we want to do a home improvement project, do you need an architect? Do you need someone who's a contractor? Or do you need an interior decorator? Know your own objectives. Mm-hmm. Determine what you feel would be an evidence of success. How will I know if, in fact, this project is appropriate and correctly completed? And obviously, you would hold a Martha Stewart to a much different standard in terms of home improvement mm-hmm. than you would to Frank Lloyd Wright.
Right. Well, one of the things that you were talking about, the credentials and the
yes.
and the ability to deliver, there are a lot of people out there who are very capable, but because the consulting business is not as, in terms of credentialing someone, is not as well developed as other professions.
Right.
You know, I found that a half hour visit where you define what your challenge is, and the prospective consultant tells you how they would approach it, that has a lot to do with finding out whether the person is capable or not. What do you think?
I very much agree with you that if we can get the scope clarified amongst all the parties involved, it does go a long way towards ensuring that you as the client are aligned with this prospective consultant that you're considering bringing in.
One of the things you point out in your book is that there may be an inherent conflict between the consultant's business objectives and the client's business objectives.
Well, let's face facts. The consultant is not a charity. The consultant has his or her own operational issues, cash flow needs.
It's not their intention to be a not-for-profit, is there?
That's correct. Absolutely correct. So with those things in mind, it is not too large of a leap to say, I know that this client perhaps could use services that would be less costly, but I have to meet my mortgage this month.
Mm-hmm.
So who does it hurt if I propose the more expensive project? After all, if the client agrees to it, client knows best, but you really led them to that decision.
Well, I think I always found that I felt responsible to help the client, because some clients were much more easily manipulated than others,
yeah.
and the more easily manipulated they were, the more I backed off. But let's talk about this some more on the other side. And also, I want to ask David about the billing issue. I think that's a tip-off of whether this person needs your business more than you need them. 20 after, stay with us. We'll be right back. Back is 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend David Zahn. His last name is Z-A-H-N, and the book is The Quintessential Guide to Using Consultants. David, give us your website and tell us where we can find your book.
The website is www.clauzon.com, and that's spelled CLOWZAHN.com.
Right.
And the book is available at all brick and mortar bookstores, as well as online at all the typical standard booksellers.
The Quintessential Guide to Using Consultants by David Zahn, and there's an H in there after the A, but folks, I'll remind you. David, now you work with companies, you work with a couple of specific industries, don't you, in your business?
Predominantly, my business is in the consumer packaged goods industry. So it's all the brand names that listeners would know from shopping supermarkets, drugstores, mass merchandisers.
Right. Now, you work with big companies.
Yes.
But I'm sure you've got some experience with smaller companies. One of the things, mm-hmm. People have asked me, what is the definition of a small business? And I have several different components to that definition. But one of them is they typically won't be able to afford or won't work with the very high-end national, international consultants. They'll typically find a smaller shop in the local town or the region.
Right.
That's what I see. And I really encourage small business owners to do this. What are some couple of the things that I always picked up on as a consultant whenever I was looking, you know, I was in a business, maybe there were some others there, some other consultants already working in there. To me was two things. Number one, what did their proposal look like? Did they even give a proposal?
Right.
And number two, how did they bill? Did they bill once a month or did they bill twice a month?
Two very interesting issues. And I would say that when we look from the client perspective at potentially working with a consultant, it is essential that there be a proposal. The proposal accomplishes a couple of things for both parties. One is it brings clarity to the project scope. Do we both agree on what our commitments are to each other? What we're going to evaluate the project based on with what metrics or criteria. And it also provides us with a sense for what are the definable start, midpoint, endpoints
mm-hmm.
of the project. So that's one thing. The other thing is when we talk about the billing.
Can we come back to the proposal for just a minute, David? To me, if the proposal is not well written, folks, and in a way that David just outlined, something very close to that, I think I would keep looking until I found somebody, because if there's one thing a consultant ought to be able to do, David, it's put their intentions and their deliverables down in a coherent and a professional way on a sheet of paper.
If a consultant cannot communicate, what we are doing is reverting back to that childhood game of pin the tail on the donkey.
Right.
We're both blindfolded, hoping to achieve an outcome.
That's right. And to me, the proposal is sort of like shining, you know, having shine shoes. You know, that's a little bit of a tip off to me. And that may seem, you know, that may be a little unfair in some cases, but in most cases, I think that will serve. Now let's talk about the billing. I always felt like if a consultant had to be, now let me tell you what I did, David. When I was a consultant, I said, I'm going to bill you once a month. I don't want to become part of your accounts payable, meaning you wait 45 days to pay me. I don't want to wait that long on my money. I was very clear about that. Mm-hmm. But you will be billed once a month, and it is due when I bill you.
Right.
But I knew people who billed twice a month, and I could tell that basically, you know, I was helping them, whoever the client was helping them keep life and limb together, not contributing to their company.
I agree with you. But let's, in order to answer that question more comprehensively, let's look at the different ways consultants do choose to bill for their services. One way is on a per hour or per day basis. And those consultants, similar to the way an attorney works, add up the amount of time that they spend on the project, on work for this particular client,
mm-hmm.
and then choose to bill for that.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't think that serves anyone's best interests, because I think we are measuring the wrong end of the relationship. I would prefer to bill on one of two other ways, either a project basis. What is the project worth?
Right.
And whether it takes me as a consultant 2 hours or 2 weeks, why would that really differ to you as my client? You want to know, is the project completed within the confines of what we had agreed to
right.
on the proposal?
And the other way?
The other way is a little bit more controversial, and that's based on the value of the project, where we link what is it worth it to you to have me improve the
mm-hmm.
product workflow or mm-hmm. sales skills or whatever it is that the initiative is designed to address.
Well, I think you're going to find, I think you probably have found that takes a more sophisticated customer,
yes,
a more sophisticated client to work with a third area there.
Yes, agreed.
And typically, the only reason why I like the hourly basis, at least as a viable alternative, is it's a simple way to get started with consultants. David, I'm afraid we have to wrap it up. We've run out of time, but we have more to talk about. Will you come back another day?
I would look forward to it. Thank you.
David Zahn, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called The Quintessential Guide to Using Consultants by David Zahn. Wherever books are sold, we're going to get David back on again real soon. Quick break. 29 after. I'll be right back with Kirk Chaffetz. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.